I can build a shelf, but that doesn't make me a builder. I can change the oil on my car, but that doesn't make me a mechanic. I can fix my toilet. Now, wait a minute. I can't fix my toilet. What am I talking about? But even if I could, that would not make me a plumber. Builders build all the time. Mechanics fix things, cars, all the time. Plumbers are fixing toilets and drains and pipes and whatnot all the time. And this is what James is saying here. We are not just to be doers to check something off, but we are to be constant doers of the Word of God all the time. All right, ladies, I want you to imagine this morning that you woke up, you got out of bed, and discovered that every mirror in the house was gone. Even the one in your purse. You wake up your husband, your wacko husband, who informs you that after reading some never-heard-of medical journal, that the excessive exposure to viewing one's image in a mirror can be detrimental to one's psyche, and therefore he threw them all away. Now, church starts in an hour. What are you going to do? My guess is that you're going to find yourself a mirror. Whatever you do, you're going to find yourself a mirror. In fact, I think you guys would find yourself a mirror too, so don't be just laughing at the ladies. I mean, your hair, your makeup, your lipstick. And I mean, I'm talking about the ladies when I talk about the lipstick, okay? I think. I mean, that dress, that shirt, I mean, you know, can't just be admired by others. You got to see it yourself. Well, there is another mirror in all of our homes, and many of them probably more powerfully revealing, more magnifying than any makeup mirror, and more necessary than any mirror in your home. And yet, for many, it is rarely looked into, and you know what it is. It is the very words of God. James calls this a mirror. Now, the Bible is called many things. It's called the Scriptures. It's called the Word. It's called testimony. It's called commandment. It's called the law. James even calls it a little later the perfect law of liberty. And the multiple descriptions of God's Word give you and I the many aspects of it. That is, the many different descriptions of the Word itself tell us a little bit about the Word, what it can do in our lives. Here, it's called a mirror. And we're told a little earlier as we studied this, that we should receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. And we spent a whole message on receiving the Word. But simply receiving the Word is not enough. And so James says we not only need to receive it into our lives, but we need to become doers of the Word. You see it there in verse 22. He says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so with that, James takes us to the application of the Word of God. We talk about the disciplines of Bible study include observation, which is, you know, what do I see when I read it? Interpretation says, what does it mean by what it says? That's the question that it asks. Correlation means, where else is this taught? And then all of us must finish with application if we are to receive the blessing of God, which says, how do I put this to functional, operative work in my life? James is concerned with doing. And this is a very timely text in our day where the emphasis, there is great emphasis, and understandably so, on knowing God, on being who you are, and on relationship. You know, many of you are familiar with the phrase, it's not religion, it's relationship. But I got to tell you, that there was a time when the word religion, the connotation of the word religion, had relationship built into it. The Puritans used the word religious or religion, and everybody understood what they meant. It meant that you had more than just truth, that you believed you were living it. And that's why, James, the text here is so important for us this morning, to allow us to grip us. Because if all we do is emphasize the esoteric relationship we have with God, this wonderful position I have in Jesus, and the greatness of God, if that's where it ends, we're fooling. No, James says we're deceiving ourselves. There must be the implementation, the doing aspect of the Word of God. Paul wrote to Titus, he said, there are those who profess to know God, but in works, they what? They deny him. From the beginning, God has always been passionate about the outcome of our faith. Even, I say from the beginning, you remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain brings this fruit of the earth as a sacrifice, clearly a bad idea. And God comes to Cain, whose countenance is down because his sacrifice has not been accepted by God. And God says, Cain, if you will do well, it will go well with you. Have you ever read that? Well, Cain didn't, and we know the rest of the story there. He became a murderer. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you should meditate in it day and night. Joshua 1:8, right? Oh, wait, there's the rest of the verse. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. David said, make promises and keep them. And the Apostle Paul said after that famous verse of passage of Scripture, which you've all, or many of you have memorized, where it says, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good, what? Good works. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? That's a good question, isn't it? I think so. The good news is God, if you know him as your God, if you have a personal relationship with him through his Son, the good news is that God is working in you. That's a nice thing to know, isn't it? The Apostle Paul said, let what happened in you come out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work in you. Both to will, that's the desire, and to do, that's the implementation. His good pleasure. Obedience. The doing of the Word of God has always been the litmus test of Christianity. John writes, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Have you ever read that? We know that we know him if we keep his commandments. It's also the mark of a true disciple, a true follower of Christ. Jesus himself said, if you continue in my word, then then are you my disciples indeed. It is the face of our faith. We talk, what is the face of our faith? Isn't it love? Loving one another? Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, does them, that's the one who loves me. It's the very face of our faith, and it's the adornment of the gospel, which Paul said to Titus, we need to adorn the gospel of God in all things. We do that through being doers of the word. So let's look at the text itself. And we pick it up in verse 22 where he says, but be doers of the word. Now this, the word is a clear reference to the scripture. Not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be. If you have a New American Standard, it says, prove yourselves. The original says, keep striving to be. It's present tense, which means you always need to be doing this. It's in the middle voice, which means the onus of responsibility lands on you to be the doer. And it's an imperative, which means God is, this is a commandment, not an option. You and I are commanded to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Jesus said to the Pharisees, who knew the word very well, he said, I know that you claim that Abraham is your father. But now listen to this. He said this in John 8. He said, but my word has no place in you. Have you ever read that? The word place is a Greek word which means to cut before. It means to advance. He says, my word doesn't advance in you. I remember hearing years ago about in the pre-Soviet Union days, before the Bolshevik Revolution, there were many churches and Bible studies going on throughout Russia. And there was one study that was going on where the individuals who were running the little Bible camp, so to speak, or school, would give out treats to the children who would come and memorize scripture. One particular young man was very apt at memorization. In fact, he would memorize volumes of passages from the Bible, whole sections from Scripture. He would come ready, and he would stand, and he would quote the Word of God. He'd get his treat, and he'd go off. And he did this for weeks and months on end. Their best student in the knowledge of the Word of God, or the memorizing of it anyway. Well, many years later, that student would grow up and become the premier of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev. Obviously, the Word of God had no advancement in him. So you see, here we're told to be doers of the Word. That means to make it a way of life. In Lucas's outstanding message that he preached a few weeks back about not making Jesus just the checkoff on your list, but that he has to be the one who's over every aspect of every part of your day. That was an excellent point. Every so often someone comes to me and says, hey, will you take us out? Will you take me out on calling? I say, okay, I'll take you out on calling. And they go out, never to show up again. Now let me ask you, can they tell folks in the years to come, I've gone out on calling? Go like this. They can do that. But they've not made it a way of their lives. They're fooling themselves. Listen to me. I can build a shelf, but that doesn't make me a builder. I can change the oil on my car, but that doesn't make me a mechanic. I can fix my toilet. Now, wait a minute. I can't fix my toilet. What am I talking about? But even if I could, that would not make me a plumber. Builders build all the time. Mechanics fix things, cars, all the time. Plumbers are fixing toilets and drains and pipes and whatnot all the time. And this is what James is saying here. We are not just to be doers to check something off, but we are to be constant doers of the Word of God all the time. Had a great vacation with our family, all 17 of us under one roof. We had a great time. We really did. And I have to be honest with you to say, you know, I kind of was setting ministry aside. And not setting God aside or the Word aside, but, you know, I just wanted to have fun. And we did. We had a great time together. We had devotions and stuff, but I really wasn't thinking so much of being, you know, a soul winner that God's called me to be. But here I was flipping burgers out on the deck one day, overlooking the lake, and all of a sudden I heard a voice. It wasn't God's, it was the tenant that was right above me. But she was right in the next one, I mean, the next level up, and looking right down at me, no more than maybe 15 feet from me. And she said, where are you from? Oh, I told her. She said, what are you doing? I told her what I was doing. She says, what do you do in Iowa? I told her. She says, I used to be a Baptist. I said, really? I said, what are you doing now? She goes, oh, nothing. Really don't have much going on in my life. I said, is that right? She said, I really don't have any purpose. I said, well, I can give you some purpose. And I shared with her how to be saved, and she leaned on the railing, and she said, so what do I have to do to ask Jesus to be my Savior? There are no vacations in the Christian life. We can take a vacation, but we don't take a vacation from God. He says, always be doing the Word, not merely hearing it. God has called us to be doers of the Word all the time, not hearers only. You see that word, hearers? The Greek word refers to one who sits passively in an audience, listening to a singer or a speaker. No obligation. You know, recently I was discussing this with somebody who was going into our seminary at Faith, debating on whether or not he should take a class for credit or he should audit the class. And we talked about the difference. Well, one difference was an audit only cost him $100. Taking it for credit was $300. I mean, the same class, same teacher, same rich truths from the Word of God, all he had to do was audit. Of course, the one who audits takes no test, gets no grade, receives no credit. Now, I'm not faulting auditing a class. I'm making a point. In fact, John MacArthur capitalized on this very analogy in his commentary on this, and he contends that our churches are filled with auditors. You who come, you open up the Bible, you listen to it preached, you listen to it taught, you hear it, you memorize it, you check it off. But you have no obligation to apply it to your life, and there's never change, like we just sang, changing me, changing you. And what he tells us here in the end of verse 22 is what becomes, it's a form of self-deception. Now this is, you need to think about this. Because a person who is self-deceived doesn't realize they're deceived. And I marvel at individuals that I talk to that are clearly deceived and they don't even know it. The word deceived here is the word paralogizomai. It's the word where we get our word logic. Logizomai, rather. And it really literally means to, the word para means to be alongside, and logizomai means to reason, to use logic. And it carries the idea of putting logic alongside. You sort of lose logic. You're deceived. Mathematicians in Bible times used this word to refer to a miscalculation, to miscalculate something. Now, I probably, against my better judgment, I gave Pastor Kevin permission to have some fun with me on Wednesday night. Some of you were there. While we were on vacation, I was in Illinois. And driving down the road, and I noticed a deputy sheriff following me down the road very closely. I knew you're not going to be following me this close, and I'm not really speeding. What's going on here? All of a sudden, his lights came on. He pulled me over. Not only did he pull me over, but he approached the car like this. I mean, here's my car. I mean, he's coming up. I thought I was a common criminal the way he was approaching me. He stopped at the passenger side. I could barely see him in my rearview mirror. And I went, huh. Just kidding. No, I didn't do that. I probably wasn't very smart to say that, but actually, I'm wondering, what's he doing? He says, sir, I said, yes. He said, and he's talking to me from the back. He says, you gas up back there in Princeton? I said, yes, sir, I did. He says, I've been informed you didn't pay for your gas. I said, I beg your pardon, sir. I swiped my card. In fact, I did it twice. He says, you got a receipt? Gulp. I never grab the receipts. I said, no, I don't. He's going to have your license. You'll have to go back to Princeton. How far back is it, officer? I said, my goodness, I even talked to the lady in there. The pump freed me up. Why? I don't get this. He says, well, he goes, you're going to have to go back. It was 14 miles back. Turned around. You know, when you got a 20-hour trip, that's not a very exciting thing to hear. So back I go, and sure enough, what had happened was just, I'd miscalculated. I had swiped it, and I'd even gone in because the pump wasn't working. But the girl inside had registered me inside. Now, she didn't tell me that, but she'd registered me inside. I thought that it was all done outside, but I didn't take the receipt. I totally miscalculated. Cost me 45 minutes. Praise the Lord, that's all. that's one thing. It's one thing to miscalculate something like that unintentionally. It's another thing to miscalculate knowing and doing the Word of God. We deceive ourselves and we think just because we've taken in some knowledge, we're suddenly spiritual or something. God says if that's the case, we become self-deceived. And you always deceive yourself before you deceive anybody else. So James uses an illustration. And look at it, would you please? He says, if anyone, verse 23, is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now he provides us with an inspired illustration here. The man in the mirror. He looks at his natural face. That's the one that's, you know, behind everything, okay? And he does use the word man. The word man is not the normal word anthropos, which is just generic, man in general, men, women, boys, girls, humankind. It's the word aner, which is the Greek word for a male person. And for all the vanity that men have today, they are still more apt to do a look-see in the mirror, aren't they? And walk away. Than a woman who's more intent on spending time in front of the mirror. So James he's using an analogy here. He says, you're acting like a man who doesn't really care what he looks like. Just takes a glance and off he goes. He says in verse 25, but he who looks, he who looks intently or scrutinizes into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Looking intently into the mirror of God. Have you ever taken one of those mirrors? My wife has one of those makeup mirrors where, you know, you look at it, you turn the light on, you flip it over, and whoa, you know, your face gets five times bigger. You can see the pores and everything. This is what God is saying that we must do. This is the approach that we must have to the Word of God. The Bible is like a mirror. The mirrors in Bible times, by the way, were not like the glass ones that we have. They were polished brass, sometimes polished silver. If you were a very rich person, you'd have polished gold. And therefore, it didn't give you the perfect image that you and I have when we look into a mirror. But if you look long enough into polished brass, you could get a good image of yourself. James says those who look intently into the perfect law of liberty. I don't know about you, but law and liberty don't go together very well. But he's not using it like the Old Testament law. But these were Jews. They knew something that were, the original readers were Jewish. They knew something about the law. But this was a different law. This is the law of liberty, the law of freedom. If you know the truth, Jesus says, the truth will set you what? It'll set you free. The law of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That's what the Bible teaches. It's a different law. Where the Apostle Paul says, when I'm trying to get on every level to reach people for Christ, I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. To those without the law, he says, I become without the law, not being without the law, but being under the law of Christ. Have you ever read that? It's a law of freedom, of liberty. Not to live life willy-nilly, but to be under God, living to His glory. The Bible is a mirror, reveals the changes that I need to make. And the more intently I look, the more I am willing to become a doer of the word, to do what is necessary to bring glory to God and blessing to myself. I want a blessing, don't you? Look at the end of verse 25. He's going to be blessed. I want that. Oh God, I want your blessing. And if we want the blessing of God, we must intently look into this mirror. Let it show every pimple. Let it show every scar. Let it show everything that needs changing. Changing me. Changing you. And I have to confess that as I have studied this passage of Scripture, my heart's been convicted. Since September 6, 1982, the day I trusted Christ as my Savior, there has not been a day that I have not read the Word of God. Not one. Not one day. But how often I have been like the man in the mirror. I've looked at the Word of God, but maybe just took a glance at it. Maybe I just sort of, you know, I read through, I got my psalm in. You know, I was on the run, but I didn't look intently. How many of us just treat the Word of God as something I just got to, you know, check off? Or just, you know, I've read it, but you didn't stare into it like you do in a mirror. How many of you would get up in the morning if every mirror in the house was gone? And you wouldn't look for a mirror. Every one of you would look for a mirror. You do whatever, you go to your neighbor to find a mirror. But you, and to what? To fix the outside. But God has given us this which reflects our inside. Now the mirror doesn't change us. Nobody looks into a mirror and says, okay, I'll scrub up here. No, it gives us the information. It reveals the glory of God, the sinfulness of man. It shows me what I've got to do to change. And God gives us the power to do so. And there is power in being a doer of the word. Let me just close with these three thoughts. If you will be a doer, if you will commit yourself this morning to look intently into the word of God, absolutely committed to being a doer of the word, one, you will know God more deeply. You will know God more deeply. The Bible says a good understanding have all those who do your commandments. Secondly, you will endure trials more successfully. Remember, James, if you've been with us, has been talking about trials. My brethren, count it all joy when you endure various trials. And if you are committed not just to be a student of the word, but a doer of the word, you will endure trials more successfully. And finally, you will serve God more happily. You'll have joy. Jesus said, if you know these things, Happy are you. And that's what the word means that he uses there. If you do them. And I've seen too many grumpy looking Christians. Grumpy, not because of their lack of knowledge, but because of their lack of doing. Being a doer of the word of God will put a pep in your step like you've never had before. Let's commit ourselves to being doers of the word. Now, some of you are here this morning, and the only thing you need to see in this powerful mirror is how perfect God is, how sinful you are, and how loving God was to send his son to die for you and to rise again from the dead. Jesus died for your sins that this book reveals to you. As a sinner, the perfect law of liberty is a law of condemnation to you, ready to come down on you when you die. Actually, it's residing on you right now. But if you will receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that which condemns you will become your freedom. In Jesus Christ, we urge you, if you don't know Christ, to receive him today.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.